Hi, welcome to On the Air with Accounting Today. I'm Editor-in-Chief Dan Hood. Now, you may not know what NOCLAR is, but you're going to want to learn because it could significantly change how you view client compliance and non-compliance. Here to talk with us about NOCLAR and what it might mean for accountants here in the U.S. is Kathy Allen. She's a CPA and owner of Audit Conduct, where she consults with accounting firms on ethics and other issues. She was previously managing director in the independence office of a Big Four firm and has served on the staff of the AICPA's Professional Ethics Executive Committee. So she knows whereof she speaks. Kathy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's begin at the beginning. What exactly is NOCLAR?
NOCLAR. We're starting right out with an acronym. Non-compliance with laws and regulations. Or I could say laws or regulations, but that would be NOCLAR. Be that as it may.
But we always never have enough acronyms. So.
And basically what NOCLAR is, and we'll use that acronym because it's nice and neat, is any action by either your client or your employer that violates a law or regulation that meets one of these criteria. It has a direct and material impact on the financial statements. I think we can all get with that one pretty easily. But the addition is that it also includes violations of laws that deal with compliance matters that are critical to the organization's operations, or that if they were violated would cause the company or your client to incur significant penalties. So a little bit of a broader context than we're used to if someone is in, say, you know, doing SEC audits where it's all about the financial statements.
Can you give us just for that second broader category, I mean, I'm just guessing, would an example of that be, say, environmental regulations in an industry that had, or maybe can you give us an example of what that might be?
You're hitting on a good one. And that's one that scares people a little bit. I was going to mention the types of laws that could come under this standard do include environmental laws, and obviously there is financial statement impact with liabilities, recording liabilities. But yes, if this is critical to a company's operations, or if discovered, they would create significant penalties. This is where I think accountants need to be aware that the scope of the standard is somewhat broader than what people in accounting and auditing have been used to thus far. And so other types of laws that we'd be looking at would include things like fraud, corruption, taxes, pensions, things of that nature, even public safety in some circumstances.
Gotcha.
And it's important, though, to keep in mind that the way the standard was scoped, it includes violations of law or regulations that an accountant learns of while performing professional services. And it also, in terms of recognition, it really only includes those types of matters that the accountant has expertise and background in.
Okay.
So you're not expected to recognize absolutely every environmental law that exists,
right,
and that would be unreasonable. But if that is your expertise and that's what you're in at the client doing some work, some consulting work, then it would be within the scope.
Gotcha. All right, I think we've got everyone's attention now. Everyone's suitably terrified. But let's go, and you've mentioned the standard, and I think that's one of the reasons I had not heard of this, heard of NOCLAR before early November at a NASBA meeting where you moderated a panel on it. And one of the reasons it's come to the fore is because there's been a new standard released, and there's also a proposal in the U.S. Maybe you can talk a little bit about those and what
sure.
they mean and where they come from.
Yeah. The standard that's been adopted was adopted by the International Ethics Standards Board for Accountants, which I'll refer to as IESBA. They are the ethics standard setting body of the IFAC. And for anyone who's not familiar with IFAC, it's the International Federation of Accountants. And it's important to know that IFAC is a member organization, global organization, and its members are professional accountancy organizations like the American Institute of CPAs. And that's where the connection between a standard that IESBA develops and adopts comes into the U.S. environment, and that's really important to understand. So IESBA adopted this NOCLAR standard. It became effective in 2017, mid-year. It was a long time in the making, about 6 years.
No.
Two entirely different proposals. The first one, boy, did that get people's ire up. It was deemed unworkable. They were barraged with comments from all over the world. It really was a much, much stricter standard. Thankfully, IFAC went back to the board, back to the drawing board, or IASBA went back to the drawing board and rewrote the standard. But before they did that, they did a tremendous outreach all over the globe to give people the opportunity to expand upon their comments that they had provided. Now, one other interesting thing about the IASBA standard is they, in the second proposal, which is what they adopted ultimately, more or less, it was tailored to accountants who serve in different roles. And that's one of the things that people liked about, I think, the second proposal and what made it more workable. So there's four components here. You can be an auditor. You can be in public practice, but doing tax or consulting or other assurance work. You can be working for a company in a senior management role, or you can be in an other category where you're in a more junior position in the company. And the persons with the most responsibility are the auditors and the senior members of management.
That makes some sense.
And the other really, really critical components of this is that at the end of the day, the folks who are supposed to fix the NOCLAR are management, right? Yep. The top management of the company, the board of directors. And what the standard does is provide a framework for accountants to work through sequentially to determine, okay, I do this, what do I do next? What are the factors to consider? That's basically what it is.
And let's, maybe can we go through those a little bit? Sort of what's,
sure.
You're in your capacity, let's say as an auditor, just to make it simple,
yep.
and you discover, like, let's stick with the environmental law.
Yep.
You discover something there that's material to the financial statements. It's within your expertise.
Right.
There's non-compliance has happened. What then? What would the standard require?
The standard will say first, get a good understanding of that matter. Make sure you know the law or regulation that's involved. Make sure you have the facts accurately. Consultation is a big part of this standard, and so if you need legal advice, et cetera, I mean, that's another, I think, fear that people have is, hey, we're accountants, we're not attorneys,
right.
and we're not expected to do a legal interpretation, but we are expected to be able to get the help to understand. So that's step one. Once we've confirmed that, yes, this seems to be a breach, or it could be a suspected breach, I should add that, too.
Okay.
It could be that
you don't
they
have
haven't
to have
quite
final
done
confirmation,
it yet,
right? Okay.
But looks like it's pretty certain it will happen. Then the next step is to bring that matter and all of the facts to the appropriate level of management. Right. So there's a lot of judgment really sprinkled throughout this framework.
Sure.
So there you need to know, okay, who are the right people to bring this to? And basically when you start in that process, you may need to go up the chain, depending on the facts and the circumstances. And you may need to involve the board of directors or whatever whomever the governance body is for the organization. And so you would make this disclosure to management, ensure that everyone understands that it is management's responsibility to act on it, and then you go away. But the standard doesn't stop there. The responsibility, of course, goes on in that you need to subsequently evaluate what has been done to address this NOCLAR. And that's where it gets very interesting, right? It's all is well and good if management does its job and acts on it to fix what's wrong in your mind. But the real tricky part is what happens if management is perhaps part of the problem. And so then the standard directs you to consider who else you might need to make disclosure to. Now, at this point, you might be thinking of resigning the audit, right? You might be talking to your partners about, hey, you know what? We've got a problem here. They're doing this. It's going to impact the financials. So that this is where a lot of judgment comes into play. But the IASBA standard makes it very clear that resignation is not always the final answer. And part of the problem and part of the reason they adopted or, you know, went through this whole process to have this standard in their code is that they were concerned about accountants and auditors turning a blind eye or quietly resigning from jobs without making any meaningful disclosure to address NOCLAR. And you know, I don't need to list the debacles we've seen across companies
away from them. But yeah,
where things build and get awful and out of control. And so ultimately, what the framework leads the accountant to is considering, is it a group audit? Do I need to speak to other auditors about the matter? Make sure they're forewarned. I mean, it's really a lot of disclosure. It's about communication and making sure the right people know about it. And then the big question is there credible evidence of significant harm to stakeholders, to the public interest? That's where it becomes a question of do I maintain confidentiality, which I always would, under
right,
normal
that would be
circumstances,
your natural response.
And it's what the IASBA code says. But it does allow for consideration of disclosure where the NOCLAR is not addressed and it continues, or you foresee that it will continue, and management integrity is an issue, et cetera. It does allow what they call a right to disclose without breaching confidentiality. Right. Unless there is a caveat, unless there is a law or regulation that says you can't do it. So if something stops you, one thing I liked about the second IASBA standard and the one that was finalized is that they do defer to local laws and regulations. They don't put the accountant in the position of putting themselves at risk of breaking the law
right.
by trying to do the right thing.
All right. Well, now this actually brings up an interesting thing, because you're talking about the IASBA standard. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that. That's
here.
That's the IFAC thing. That's what we've got. But the AICPA has also made a proposal based on that. Is that?
They have. And so we talked a little bit about IFAC and the IFAC membership. And I mentioned a connection to AICPA. Basically, whenever the IASBA develops or significantly revises an ethics standard, and this is a brand new standard, their member bodies, these professional organizations like AICPA, their quote-unquote mandate is to consider, look at their code, say, what do we need to do as an organization to bring the IASBA standard, which you can think of as a baseline ethics standard, right. into our code of conduct? And so that's what AICPA's Professional Ethics Executive Committee, another acronym, PEEK, typically does. And true to that, they did in March release a proposal. I don't think it was, I don't think many people know it was out there. It was unfortunate, the timing, I think, not the best
timing.
Yeah,
it was a little,
so they
people had their minds otherwise
they
occupied.
They did not receive a lot of feedback on it, which was a little, which I think is very unfortunate. But anyway, they did adopt, I guess, their U.S. version of the NOCLAR standard. And it's similar to the IASBA proposal, but there's two really major differences in between the two. First, they treated auditors and non-auditors the same. Yeah. So I said before that IASBA tailored the standard, and I think that was pretty popular with people. Whereas AICPA did not think it was necessary, and for the second reason is why they didn't think it was necessary. They also didn't include the notion of having a right to disclose to an outside body.
No.
When there's evidence of some harm to the public. And the reason they didn't do that is because the majority of the state boards of accountancy wouldn't allow it, right. nor would the AICPA code. So because they had those two significant differences in their proposal, they just went ahead and said, you know what, we're going to hold anybody in public practice pretty much to the same standard. And people did not care for that approach. They thought it makes more sense because non-auditors typically have lesser access. The duration of the engagement could be much shorter. They may not have the same kind of leverage, et cetera, that the auditor would have. And so they thought it made sense to have the level of responsibility be somewhat less on those persons. And the other piece, this whole notion of being able to pretty much breach confidentiality right. for the sake of protecting the public interest, NASBA, and I believe one other commenter of this very small pool of commenters said, well, you know, why don't we look at the confidentiality rules? Maybe this is an instance where accountants should be able to disclose when it is the right thing to do. And you know, in the past, there have been CPAs who have lost their license over reporting a no-clars type situation. Actually, in the one particular case that I heard about, it was restored. And in fact, that's, I believe, one of the state boards that, that actually permits in this circumstance. So there's a very small handful of states that think this makes sense. But NASBA said, you know, we have, the NASBA has something called a UAA, which is a Uniform Accountancy Act, and the states.
Another acronym.
I can't help myself. And the states can use that as their model code, and many of them do. And they, NASBA and AICPA actually had a project in place before. It was actually at the same time IESBA was looking at adopting a no-clar standard, and they put it on hold. They said, you know what, let's see what IESBA comes out with, and then we'll get back to the drawing board. And so much time went by that I think everybody forgot about it. And so it you know, NASBA came back and said, you know, we should really talk about confidentiality. This is the time to do that. And so right now it's in you know, the AICPA's Peaks Court to address this. And I think they have said in an open meeting that they will go back to the drawing board on this. And I think the UAA committee will also talk about confidentiality.
So. Gotcha. But that's what that issue will be about, is, like I said, that right to disclose beyond the non-complying organization.
Right.
No matter what, we're looking at the AICPA proposal will include the internal reporting.
Correct.
Thing. So let's talk. Can we dive into that a little bit?
Sure.
I think, like I said, we continue to terrify anyone who's listening to this, who's an accountant, saying, what exactly am I responsible for? So let's talk a little bit about what the individual accountant would be responsible for. I mean, I think one of the things they're afraid of, and this goes back in the days when it was. The profession was constantly trying to explain to people, listen, we're not responsible for finding fraud, you know, years and years ago. And a similar thing, I think people are saying, well, does this mean we're responsible for finding these instances of noncompliance, and what happens if we don't find one?
Sure.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, in answer to the question, are you responsible for hunting down NOCLAR? Absolutely not.
breathe a sigh of relief across the country.
You can put that aside. Right. There is no requirement in the AICPA's proposal or the IESBA standard. And IESBA has been very clear to say that your responsibility, you have to think of it as two different in maybe two different buckets. So you're hired to perform your professional services. If you're an auditor, obviously you do have some responsibility under the applicable auditing standards to, you know, tailor your scope your audit in accordance with, to some degree, seeking out fraud. But this, I think, terrifies people because of the hindsight question. So am I going to be second-guessed? And that leads to the liability question in the U.S., which, sadly for us, we have that as a very strong and valid issue in the United States. You know, and the question is, how do we balance that with our responsibilities as accountants and auditors in trying to get to the right answer? But no, there's no responsibility. Now, yes, it is an ethics standard that sits on top of, say, your auditing responsibilities or consulting or tax, whatever it is. But this standard, and again, I'm speaking of both the IESBA and the AICPA proposal, is matters that are brought to your attention or that you have the expertise and background to be able to recognize, and you come across it. It has nothing to do with looking for it. Now, can a smart attorney later on say you should have seen it? I suppose they can, and they will.
But yes.
And as you know, the NOCLAR panel I was on was with two attorneys. Right. I had an attorney on either side of me, and I actually did another conference where it was the same thing. You know, the attorneys are keenly interested, and they're concerned about their clients, and I completely understand that. So this is a tough issue in the U.S. We're you know, there's going to be some work to be done. Maybe the legal community comes into it, but I don't know how we ever, you know, we have this ongoing issue of ethics and legal compliance.
Right. It's a constant, well, it's a constant tension, right? And there's constant tension between those things and the accountant's job and whatever the, wherever their organization is. So it's definitely going to be worth it.
It's going to be interesting. I think so. I think it will be. And I would hope that I'm hoping to see a new proposal come out of PEAK. And I do hope that your listeners and others will write as firms and as individuals to weigh in on this subject. It's a very important standard. I've been working in ethics standards since the early 90s, and to me, this is the biggest issue, I think, to come along in a very long time, probably the entirety of my time associated with ethics in our profession.
Absolutely. No, it's well worth paying attention to. Any last thoughts we should have before we go, other than to when the proposal comes out, to take a look at it and comment if appropriate?
Absolutely. I think that's right. I think we should try to approach this standard with an open mind as members of the profession. And I hear all different things from my colleagues. I hear some folks that just hate it and they feel that they're being put upon once again. And then I hear other people saying, you know what, we need more freedom to be able to disclose these types of matters. I would just say, please, whatever AICPA ends up proposing and subsequently adopting, just look at it with an open mind. Read it very, very carefully, and you know, we can all do our best with it. But I do think it is an important standard, and I think it's one that will better the profession. And frankly, as we head into a period of a lot of uncertainty with technological advances, I've been thinking about this more and more, how I think in terms of our relevance and our continuation of being, you know, this trusted advisor, I think we need to really stress our ethical obligations. It's a differentiator in my mind between us and the person who can do the same thing we're doing without a CPA license. So that would be my advice.
Absolutely. You know, the public interest responsibility of the CPA
exactly.
profession is one of the main things that sets it apart. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's a lot to think about. We'll be paying attention to it as the new proposal comes out. Hopefully people will be reading it and commenting. Thank you for joining us, Kathy.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you all for listening. Look for new episodes of On the Air with Accounting Today every Monday at AccountingToday.com or subscribe to us on Google Play or iTunes. And if there's a topic you'd like us to explore, let us know by emailing actoday@sourcemedia.com.